It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you here with us on this President's Day. I hope you're for those of you that are working, we hope you're having a nice quiet day to get caught up. It might be a kind of a quiet day, but just only because many people are taking the day off. But for those of you who are taking the day off, I'm so grateful that you are taking time to listen to us. Most of you are probably listening to this on a downloaded basis, which most do these days. I want to say this podcast is created again by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're so grateful to have you as our listener. What's really interesting is the diversity of our audience. I think a lot of programs have different styles, and we try to have fun and make this, most importantly, informative. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. But it's not just having timely information. It is what timely information are you bringing forth? So we were just talking with Alice just a little bit ago, and we got David Kittle that's joining us just now, and we got Alice was dialed in a little earlier. We were talking. It is so interesting to see what our listener base is. We just received a message from someone at Freddie Mac, and his name is Phil Guth. And I'm going to be talking to him later today, but this gentleman wrote us a note saying how much he enjoys the podcast. He's recently started listening to us. He says, I wished I had found out about you a long time ago. He says, your podcast is the right mix of, you know, all the things that I need to stay up on as one of the professionals. He says it's a mix of policy, markets, tech, opportunities, and challenges. Yes, we cover all of that and as much of what's going on relevant. And there are significant things that took place this last week. We're going to talk a little bit about with Mr. Kittle here and some of the things happening in the market. And then Alice is dialed in and will give us an economic update as well. But anyway, happy President's Day, everybody. So glad to have you here. Say a special thank you to our sponsors, Candor Technology. I tell you what that team have put together when it comes to making decisions. It's a unique tech solution, so unique they were able to get a patent on their workflow process and the way they go about then their decisioning. So very unique situation, and it's a leader in the marketplace, as are each of our sponsors. So check out Candor. Also, Finastra. They do a great job with their platform. I was just on with one of their executives on Friday and hearing the direction and the commitment that Finastra has. Again, it's a lot of it is, you know, what are leaders doing? They're the number one fintech company in the world, number one in the world. I think it warrants us paying attention to who's number one. I think when we fail to listen to the leaders, not that the leaders are all going the right direction. We're going to talk about some of that, things that are happening right now. They're changing direction. A lot of shifting sands going on, but Finastra has a clear direction, and they're going in that direction. So check out Finastra. Their flexible system is one that you should be looking at. Also, FormFree does an amazing job with their patent account check passport products. Opens doors to more exclusive credit decisioning by revealing each of the customer's true ability to pay. Very good. Check out the podcast we did with Brent Chandler back on October 17th. Also, Total Expert. My gosh, I love these guys at many levels. Their innovation, what they're committed to bringing together into creating a customer journey that lenders, well, it's almost customized by the lenders, the nature of their customers, but how they are nurturing their campaigns. They have got the leading technology when it comes to CRM. And it's much more than a CRM, but it's all of a CRM and then nuts. And then Simple Nexus, just talking to David Boland and our friends over there, we interviewed Ben Miller, the founder of Simple Nexus, on December 30th. But there's so much going on there at that company. They are growing by leaps and bounds. They say, well, yeah, but I heard they had a layoff too. Well, they were growing so quickly. They did do a modest layoff, but they're still growing. I was talking to Brett Taylor there, and he was telling me about how much market share they're picking up. You want to be with market leaders. That's why we select some of our key sponsors in here, Simple Nexus, Total Expert, Finastra, as well as Canter. These are some of the experts. And also we have Mortgage Bankers Association of America. So grateful for the MBA, as well as Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. These two co-ops are excellent, excellent way to get up close and personal with your peers so you find out what's really going on with in each of those companies and how they're dealing with the challenges, very similar to you. I love how they match up the lenders there with the companies of like size, so you can hear what those people are dealing with and how they're solving the problems. I think that's the best consultant you can have. I think number one, your best consultant is your spouse. Your second best consultant is your warehouse lenders and your counterparties. And then getting involved in a mortgage, one of the collaboratives and one of the co-ops, Lenders One and Mortgage Cooperative, collaborative is really powerful. Then also, when you're wanting to learn and teach people, use Knowledge Scoop. Great, amazing LMS system. And then when you're recruiting, you've got to use Mortgage Market Intelligence from Mobility as well as Modex. Modex and Mobility MMI have got the tools to help you recruit the people that not only say what they're doing, but you can verify it and then select the market you want to go into. It's amazing. We're using these tools. We're watching our clients use these tools in recruiting. It is amazing. Mortgage Advisory Tools, so grateful for them and their ability to help you with all that they have to offer. On February 22nd, we'll be airing Tricia Megliazzo of Lenders One. I'm looking forward to that interview. We recorded that last week. Tricia's such a dear, dear friend, and you're going to really enjoy talking. We're talking about what's going on in the market, what they're seeing within their collaborative, and then also within their upcoming Lenders One conference, which happens to be at the same time as TMC's, the Mortgage Collaborative. So also, I want to shout out today to Adam DeSantis, Les Parker, Matt Graham, Mr. Kittle, my sister from another Mr., Alice Alvey, and Alan Pollock and Mark Helm. Thank you all for what you do to make this podcast so successful. Let's get over to Adam DeSantis with the MBA to hear what the MBA's Mortgage Minute has for us today. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Here's what you need to know. Last week, FHA released a request for information inviting industry feedback on how to improve lender participation in FHA's 203K Rehabilitation Mortgage Insurance Program. The RFI is a follow-up to HUD's efforts to support underserved communities, expand housing supply, and promote homeownership, as detailed in its 2022 through 2026 strategic plan. In September of last year, MBA submitted a letter detailing suggested updates to the 203K Rehabilitation Mortgage Insurance Program. Our letter highlighted specific improvements that would make the program more appealing to borrowers and lenders alike, including increasing the cap on limited 203K mortgages, increasing accessibility to consultants, and eliminating second appraisal requirements. MBA will work with its Government Loan Production Subcommittee to respond to the RFI. Comments are due to the 15 questions on April 17th, 2023. Now that's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, everyone at the MBA, for all that you're doing. We're going to get a little bit more into some of the comments when Alice comes up here. Thank you, MBA. Let's get over to Les Parker. By the way, if you haven't signed up for the Mortgage Action Alliance app, you need to do so. Say that all the time. We also got some upcoming conferences that you need to be aware of. And a lot of people are staying away from conferences and crowds, except for the co-ops. But I'm telling you, you got to be looking at these conference schedules. Sometimes some of these smaller ones that they have upcoming are really, really important to be at. So we could go on and on about that. But let's get over to Les Parker with this week's TM Spotlight and a macro view of the markets. I always like to hear what music parody Les has come up with. Here we go.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Fed left no time to regret. Kept its QE wet with its same old safe bet. The Fed affirmed that it would keep QE away from mortgages and let them run off only. But unfortunately, the Fed learned in March and April of 2020 the fragility of mortgages when it saw them falling without direct support. It aggressively intervened after saving treasuries. The event underscored the mortgage industry's inadequate capital and liquidity. So it's dependent on government, GSEs, and the Fed. Will the burn return? IMBs go back to burn. Will Fed go back to black? See the black at tmspotlight.com.
A little drama in his voice there. Les Barker, I love that. He and Gary Canterbone collaborate on that segment. Always, always informative and entertaining as well. So that's good. Well, we've got several of our regulars that are now. Mark Hamm just joined in. Oh, good. So, Mark, good to have you joining in on the podcast. I was wondering, where's my co-host? I'm missing that.
Glad to be here, David. Sorry I was a few minutes late.
That's all right. It is President's Day. I was thinking maybe you're out vacating there and having some fun. Did you get a chance to listen to that segment with Les or
I did. I heard most of it. Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's an interesting week to see what's going on with the Feds and what's happening with mortgage rates. Again, we bumped up towards some of the ceilings that we saw last week. Now we've come off of those. We're up at 3.9. And the big question was, is we're going to pierce through that level. As Matt was saying last week, if we do pierce through that, then we could have ourselves into a new trading range. But fortunately, thankfully, we've seen that fall off. And it settled back later in the week. Again, today's the markets are closed today, so we're looking more at what's happening last week. But it at least it ended out where we started turning directions on that. So that's good. Matt's taking the day off. It is. He didn't give me a chance. You know, he's become a farmer. That's what the part I really enjoy about it. He's got some acreage, so he heads out into the country. And I hope you are enjoying yourself out there, Matt Graham. We love you. Check out what he offers on his service. It's the mbslive.net service. It's powerful. It's a great tool for you to have, and especially when trying to figure out where interest rates are going and then also how other people are talking about it. It's got so much data on there. Check it out. You can sign up for a trial period, an extended trial period, without a credit card. Normally, he requires a credit card to go into it, and then it rolls into a contract. But this way, for our listeners, that he is allowing you to sign up on a trial period without a credit card. I think that's great of him. I appreciate it. You should sign up for the service no matter what, though. It's great service. Excellent. Mr. Kittle, so good to have you here. I know there's a lot going on in your life, and I'm excited about some of the things you have under the way. I don't know if you could talk about it yet, but I sure look forward to it the day when you can, because you've got a lot going on there, my brother, friend.
Yeah. Hey, happy President's Day to you and everybody, and probably just about 10 days premature on that. Do a soft launch on something that I'm working on and I'm very excited about at the Mortgage Collaborative Conference in San Diego, 5th through the 7th. So it'll be good for the market, and it'll be good for all the depositories out there, and I'm really excited about it. And can I make a rate comment?
Yes, please. Please.
Yeah, I was just sitting here thinking about it, you know, listening to Les, and rates go up a little over a quarter, they go down three eighths, whatever they do. And if you're selling today, you can't sell rate. You have to sell yourself, your product, and your company. And if you're selling rate, then you're not going to do very well. And if I'm a borrower, I can't be worried about interest rate. Now, you can if you're really close on whether or not you can qualify, but that just means if rates are up a little bit, then your house is probably appreciating. And we have to remember that this is – buying a house is a long-term game.
Yeah.
It's, if you're in it to flip it, then I don't have any sympathy for you however it moves. But if you're in it for the long-term to make a purchaser and make it for your home and your family, then you just stay the course and find other ways to afford it. You just can't sell rate, David.
Oh, you can't. You got to sell. Ultimately, what's the unique thing in every transaction? We know mortgage lending is overall commoditized. Pricing is commoditized. We all go into the same pool. Sometimes several people negotiate better on that. But the reality is most everybody is going to the same pool. So what do we have to sell? What's unique in every transaction? You, the listener. You are the what's unique. And I think that's the point you're bringing out, David, to sell what is unique, and that is you.
They have to sell the fact you get me or whoever you are with the deal, and I'm going to take care of you all the way through. And instead of reflecting, we're still talking about rates, and a bunch of us on this call remember, I mean, you know, you get tired of hearing it. Sometimes I get tired of saying it, but I originated it 2.5 times what the rates are today.
Yeah,
and did it, and did it successfully. So you just
What's really interesting about it all, David, is it's so much the attitude. There are people that are coming into this business I've never seen. I don't know if it's never, but it's one of the most, one of the great, in my 22 years of consulting, my 50 years in the mortgage industry, I've never seen so many new entrants coming into it, new companies, new startups starting out. And it's a number of loan officers at other companies that I have, are going out and spinning out to start their own mortgage company. And they're going, we think this is a great time. You know, you look at, I mean, Casey Crawford Googled when to start a mortgage, how to start a mortgage company. He found me 15 years ago when we started that company. It was one of the worst times at that point. Dave, you've been through this. You are the president of the MBA. There's some of the worst of times. And I think when you look at this, it is, there is a, this group that's smiling off to the side and listening to all the negative attitudes because they're not selling themselves and they're just repeating all the negative news. Do not be a repeater. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and because that song goes. It's a great – Alice will sing that. Maybe we'll hum a few bars of that. I don't know. Maybe not. But anyway, the point of it is, David, raise a good point. What do we have to sell? Ourselves. That's it.
I'd like to add a comment back to Mr. Kittle. Back when I started in this electric industry called mortgage banking.
You're so old.
Yeah. Way back, I was working for a savings and loan, and we had a unique benefit then because we could sell other products at the savings and loan, which we could cross-sell and all. And I think that's certainly something that's gone by the wayside is the cross-selling abilities we have that we used to have. But the guy that trained me said that he said, you can't sell rate, exactly what you said, David. But he said also, he said, you not only got to sell yourself, but you got to sell your company. And he said too many times people can sell themselves and don't sell their company. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he says, well, you can sell your company by saying we've been here for 42 years. We provided home ownership. We'll be here tomorrow. We'll be here the next day. We'll be here anytime you need us. And that plus you selling yourself that you're there to service them is going to be the two keys that's going to make you successful. And I was a successful loan officer and area manager, regional manager, and division manager in originations before I got over into mortgage operations. And I never forgot that sell yourself, that's true, but sell your company too. And if you can't sell your company, guess what? You need to go to another company.
You need to go to another company, yep.
I'm telling you something, guys, that's happening right now that I'm seeing. I can name three companies right now to say what Mr. Litkin said. Three companies were some key loan officers that were providing a big part of the business in the companies. They left those companies to start their new companies themselves.
Yeah.
Because they realized we can do it. We're really what does it here. We do it different than anybody else. We do it better. We sell ourselves. Why not go do it ourselves and make the income rather than working for somebody else? And they're doing it. So,
yeah, it's amazing, Mark. It is so much. David, you raise a great point. Listen to the discussion we got going around that one. Sell yourself. But you raise a good point. Believe in the company or go find – believe in the company you're working for so you can sell it effectively. And if you don't – find another company or start one that you can. More and more are doing that. I just talked to a group this morning, and they're saying the culture of our company has dramatically shifted. They've had some leadership changes. We are leaving. We're going to form a new company. To either form a new company or we're going to find a new group, probably leaning towards starting a new company, because we desperately want to be a part of a culture. And I think that is something. Alice, time for you to jump in on this discussion. You work for a great company with great leadership and an awesome culture. Jump in on the how important is it to sell yourself? And as the head of training there, do you sell that and train people on how to do that?
Oh, we absolutely. It is really – we were just talking about this last week with all the people, you know, all the salespeople who are joining our company now because we have that culture. And it's the – you're selling your operations. You're selling how great and transparent your operations are because, right, making the sale is half of it. The other half is – getting it through the system effectively and closing early, not just on time these days, closing it with the right technology that customers want to see today. So all it's a whole package. I think that's why it's so hard to break off on your own to have the money you need for the technology piece. But it's the people side that people want to hear about. That, okay, great, you're going to take my application. What happens after that? And that's what we find our salespeople really can capitalize on in the sales process.
Yeah, I think I'm doubling down. We spoke over you, Mr. Kittle, when you were talking. Alice brought out the point you made, and Mark and I are going back. I don't want to let that chance that we spoke over you during that, and that is sell your people. And if you don't believe in your company and you don't believe in your people, then you got a problem. You can sell yourself, but, you know, it's really important. So, Alice, I think that's the thing, is sell your underwriters. Sell why you believe in your underwriters. It's so good when you're doing business with someone who believes in themselves, but they're supported by a team, because certainly it takes a team. Do you know what's an interesting study that I use this study all the time, Alice? You've heard me say this before. But of the top three, on a scale of 1 to 10, where does compensation fit as the one of the most important? Where does it fit? It's always in the bottom half. So if scale 1 being most important, 10 being least important, it's usually around 6, 7, or 8. It's always in the bottom half. The top three things in every study, you know what it is? When I say that I work for my company or whatever the company is, there's a sense of pride that comes with it. The second thing is that what I do contributes. I understand that what I do, I may be working in this one little part. I put this one bolt in this mortgage loan and I do this one thing, but you understand the company has taken the time. This is what you do so well, Alice. You and I've talked about this. You train people to understand the whole picture and the importance of you putting that bolt in correctly in this one part. I'm going to an assembly line analogy here. So when we understand what our commitment is task is and how it relates to the broad picture, it really brings it together. And the third thing is it's a family. I feel like I'm a part of something and I care about my people. I care about who I work with, which is what you said, David, and Alice did a great job of doubling down on it. These three most important things. So in the midst of that, you got to believe in yourself. Which goes there. We could go on and on about that. So lest we turn this into a motivational talk show, we should all get going on and on about that. Very good. Anything you want to add to that, Alice?
No, I think you guys did a great job of pulling it all together. And I said no, that was my first word. The last thing I'll say is today a lot of folks are focusing on selling payment. So
yes.
Like David was saying, ignore the rate, you're selling the payment. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're selling the dream of getting into a home. I mean, part of it is you're like, what is this all about? We can refinance. Rates go up, rates go down. You may not be able to get the home at this value or get the home based on inventory issues. There are so many things to get them refocused on. Get it off of the rate. Very good point. David, Mr. Kittle, anything you want to add? Then Mark, add you last word on this. Otherwise, we're going to get on into some other stuff.
No, not at all. You know, you shop for a lender. But today, just under my personal situation, I was able to save with my insurance agent on some issues almost $1,800 a year.
Wow.
On my homeowner's insurance. So you get comfortable with, this is going up, this is going up, and you need to continue to shop your services too. And if you're a lender, do you have a relationship with a good insurance agent, right? That's selling something of quality and value. And so it's the whole package to get the payment down and make it affordable, just not the principal and interest payment.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I'll say this about, you touched on homeowners insurance. I mean, I'm with State Farm. I know I could save money, but here's the issue. We had a hailstorm go through our area. Oh, gosh, 9 years ago now. It took out our windows, and it was softball size hail coming at 90 miles an hour. It hit the front windows of our house, broke out all the windows. We had ice balls in the middle of our house, on the other side of the house. I mean, it came with such velocity, such a blast. And so we were with State Farm, and we stayed at State Farm. They're the most expensive. My gosh, we could go so much cheaper. Well, guess what? The day of the storm, the State Farm truck was in our front yard and handed us our check sufficient to do all the repairs. There were people waiting 2-3 weeks for their search adjuster with windows broken out in our neighborhood. I think it's important to, this is where it comes back to the company. It comes, you can't always chase lowest premium, lowest rate, low net. A lot of it has to do with, you know what, I may pay a little bit more, but in that case, you could not get me to go off of State Farm. And I know all these agents out there, don't call me, tell me you could save me gazillions of dollars.
So well, hey, David.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that, you know, State Farm is good, but it also depends on your agent.
Yes.
With a particular vendor,
yeah.
Right, that gets it done, just like it's the loan officer with the company.
Yep.
So that's my point. I do have a question for you real quick, though, Dave, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
For you personally.
Yeah. Yes.
Did I see you? Were you the one downtown Austin doing the racing this weekend? I could have sworn I saw you in the park.
No, I was not a part of that. And don't write in and ask me what that's about, folks. That's hilarious. You are so funny, Mr. Kittle. Yeah, no, wasn't a part of that. Oh, my gosh. David Kittle, you absolutely cracked me up. Mark, you want to add anything to this?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I've been using USAA for years for insurance. Not necessarily the best rate in the country, but positively some of the best service. And the neat thing about them, I don't have one agent. I have 500. Because I can, when I call in the customer service, any of those people are superior and looking out after my best interest and do everything they can to help me. So I really, it's all about the service you get, I think, in insurance first to me, and like yours was, David. But saving money is important too. So I'm getting ready to talk to them about some things. I just moved in Houston, and I'm now in a different county where the insurance rates are being lower, and they've already reached out to me and said they need to rework my policy to give me the lower rate on my automobile insurance. And, you know, you just got to stay on top of things. But it's a point being made here that I think is very important. And when times get hard in mortgage banking, I think it's important to reassess every vendor relationship you have. Now, vendors probably don't want me to say that, but I'm saying that because I think vendors want to be sharp and clear and concise and cost-effective and provide a good service. The only way we know how to do that in our mortgage industry is to compare that service and the cost to other vendors that are out there. And by doing that, we police ourselves, and we can make the vendors we do business with better vendors because we can say, well, I can get this done for this, or they do this extra service or whatever, and we build and grow our business. And as we know, vendors are so important for us in mortgage banking to get all our jobs done on a daily basis. So I think it's very, very, very important that we really manage our vendors and compare our vendors and adequately give our vendors scorecards on how they do and whatnot, and just stay on top of it. Because if you miss that, you could be a profitable company, and overnight you could let it get out of hand.
Yep. We could go on this topic, but there's some other things you want to cover. But great, great point, Mark. It's a yin and yang. It's a back and forth on this topic. I think one of the cases is when it comes to vendors' warehouse lines. I mean, I know people will just go with the lowest cost warehouse facility. It's not about that, folks. There's just the incremental amount of pickup there. The warehouse vendor that you get that cheapest rate from may be going out of business because they cut back, and then you're scrambling to go get more warehouse facilities again. So you're going back to that other one you let go of and go, can I please have you back? I really did love you. Anyway, on and on and on. This topic could go on, but I want to get over to Mr. Kittle, and I want to talk about some of the things that are going on. You're doing. I know you're not ready to talk about it, but you've got some things you're excited about, David. I'm seeing a resurgence of things. We talked about this just earlier, but we're also seeing a resurgence of new players coming to the market, whether it be tech companies, whether it be production companies. Lots of new mortgage loan originators coming into the market. I think they're existing in the market as originators, but they're now setting up their own companies. Lots of that going on. But let's talk about some of the layoffs. There were significant layoffs last week and disruption. ICE Mortgage Services or Solutions or ICE Mortgage Technologies, they let go Joe Tyrell and a whole lot of people at that company. And it makes you wonder what is up with some of the changes that are going on. There is a lot of changes going on. That's why I keep coming back to, it's so important that you know what's happening when you're picking a vendor, when you're working with a vendor, which is going to your point, Mark. You've got to know more than just that what's happening. There's a lot of disruption. If you don't think Joe Tyrell being let go along with other executives, One person told me today, it's like they let go of everybody that has a lot of mortgage knowledge. And now we've got, I think, ICE Mortgage Technologies is their conference either this week or next. It's coming up here real soon in Las Vegas. It'll be interesting to see what they're saying there. But the point of it is this. We are seeing a lot of layoffs. Commentary on the disruption through layoffs, Mr. Gettle.
Well, layoffs, disruption, you know, disruption's not a bad thing. But certainly when people lose their jobs, you have to be empathetic for it. It gives what we said a couple of weeks ago, David, that, you know, if you're good, you're going to get picked up. I'd be patient, not take the first jump of anything that comes along, or decide what we talked about, go open your own company. I do want to make a comment on, you know, some of the companies that shut down and everything. I think it was personally, without mentioning any names at all, just some of the reactions and some of the news and how it was put out there on companies when they close. And I was disappointed in some of the reporting, actually. You know, you can say things without taking a deep dive, and I think some of it hurt more than it helped. And I didn't like what I saw from a couple of
well-known blogs. Blogs or bloggers or commentary, newsletter-type things going out. You and I talked about this, and again, we respect everyone out there trying to inform and keep what's going on, but when you almost gleefully talk about the demise of a company, I'm going like, what's behind that? I mean, I hated to see the news that Joe, I know we've interviewed Joe Tyrell on this podcast, and Joe did real well, and he's got plenty of money, so he's not hurting, and I'm sure he'll, like you said, David, land on his feet somewhere. But it's like, what's your motive for what you're talking about? In this one particular case, I know many of you know probably who can guess who we're talking about, but a major company blew up last week. I mean, not going to make payroll for the last part of it. They're scrambling to make it and make it whole. But, I mean, it blew up. Now, we're going to be doing a whole podcast maybe one or two podcasts necessary to cover it all, on what is causing these companies to blow up. What are the things they're missing? Alice brought this up in one of our conversations. It would be really good to see. Let's do a study and what's missed. And every one of them, we sit as the consultants having in our position in the marketplace, we and Mr. Kittle for at TMC, we all get to see a lot of what's going on out there. And we should talk about this. How could we have avoided some of this? How could some of them avoided it? I'll tell you, it comes down to this almost every single time when you stop listening to a diversity of counsel. I'm not saying that just because we're consultants here. Most of us are consultants on this line. We start shutting down certain voices. And when you hear, and I'm thinking of one particular state, I know that, but, and you've got to get, I think this is the value of a board, Mark. You and I, Mark, David, you and I have both served on boards for companies. And I think it's so important if there was ever a time to have an advisory board or a board of directors, this is it. Mark and I do it. Mr. Kittle does it. So any thoughts on that, Mark? You want to double down on that one?
I think it's very important because sometimes you don't want to know what you don't know, and that goes for us as individuals, but also for companies. And I think the fact that you can have board members, advisory board members, or board members that touch so many other type of entities and companies can give you an outside opinion on things that you might not have bumped into in your own company that can be very valuable to you as you go down the road. And look at Mr. Kittle's experience, not only being a CEO of a mortgage company, but the year at MBA being the president and all the people he touched and all the things he heard. His valuable service would be truly that, invaluable to a mortgage company in bringing perspectives that they might not have thought of internally. And I think that's what makes the advisory boards and the board so important if they utilize the right people.
So, good point. I'll let you wrap that one up, Mr. Kittle. Then we're going to get over to Alice. Any last part?
I love diversity on the board of diversity and vocation. And I think it's great to have a bunch of mortgage people on your board and in different areas, maybe servicing, origination, or whatever. But go outside, somebody you trust that knows there's at least a T in mortgage, but is not in your business. And they give you a great objective perspective on what you're doing and look at it from so many different areas. And sometimes they raise stuff up and you just sit there and go, like, duh, how come I never thought of that? So, you know, diversity on your board of vocation, I think, is very, very important.
Yep. Very good. Very, very good. Let's get over to Alice Alvey. Alice, so good to have you here. Alice is CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. Thanks so much of this company and how they're growing. And what you got for this week's legislative update, Alice?
Well, hi, everyone. Hi, Dave. Today, I think I just want to point out to folks a great article by David Stevens, who, you know, is a CEO now of Mountain Lake Consulting, but as all of you know, his history with the Mortgage Bankers Association as well. He wrote a terrific article with some great thoughts about the change in the loan level price adjustments, which we've been talking about on the last few shows. And so for those of you who don't subscribe to Dave's blog that he posts on LinkedIn, I highly recommend it. He always has terrific insight. And so his most recent post was about understanding the Federal Housing Finance Agency's cross-subsidy methodology, which we've all thought was really out there a little bit, and Dave mentions that as well. But there's a great grid here that shows a little bit of how, you know, we're really, as an industry, it seems like Fannie and Freddie are trying to get to, you know, this DTI risk is somehow going to cross-subsidize the other tranches within the risk bucket of mortgage banking. And it just is the wrong angle. And so he has some great insight. I'll tease all of you to just go look it up, read it straight from Dave, because it's great insight to get some background. And I love how logical he always is. You know, we got very passionate about this. What's the matter with them? What are they doing? You know, I'm sitting in their RV tower and not listening. But, you know, Dave takes a very practical approach to having reasonable discussion, understanding where they're coming from, but then making sure that we're responding with the right information so that they understand this is still a bad idea. So I don't want to allude to that he thinks it's a good idea. He's right there with us that this is the wrong angle. But another tidbit in his write-up is the Urban Institute's quarterly chart book. This is a great read for any of you who are in the mortgage industry. You should make sure you're checking this out. It's great information about where housing is today. So I highly recommend use that link and then make sure you're checking that out each time that it's published. So those two quick tips on our DTI rant over the last couple of weeks.
talking about, what was the last thing you said? It's about the warehouse, it's the warehouse lenders?
The Urban Institute.
Yeah, the Urban Institute. You were talking about, what is it that they were
– Oh, they publish a quarterly – they do a publicly – a quarterly study of housing. And so within this write-up, let me pull up an example so I get a good – I've got it right here. So in their I must have closed the link already. But in the report, they will give every little piece of what's going on in the housing industry. So, for example, the housing, yes. I'm sorry, not warehousing, the housing industry. So you'll get all information on the ratios between, for example, Fannie, Freddie, Ginny lending, every possible metric that you could think of where housing is at today is in that publication. So I highly recommend it for folks to see where the trends are and what's going on today.
Yes, very good.
A couple of quick reminders. VA has their updated forms. As you, most of you should know, those new forms were due to go into effect February 1st. We did get an extension for all of them to April 1st so we can get the technology going. So that's referring to the VA loan analysis. That's got some field changes. We're getting rid of the old HUD VA addendum. That's now been incorporated into the final certification that we make to VA. So really, all in all, there are four forms that are changing, and doing away with the federal collection policy notice, which is great because no one knew why they were signing that form anyway. So what's harder today, you know, Dave, in the days of paper, we could just take it out, right? Don't use it. Don't put that piece of paper in the package. But now we've got to get all the fields and everything programmed. So VA did give us some leeway. And last but not least, I hope you all heard the MBA's comments this earlier in the program on the FHA request for information. That comment period is open until April 17th. So you do have a little time. MBA did already set in their comments, as they mentioned. So please, you know, if you don't know what to post, you can always just copy theirs and say, ditto, I believe the same thing.
Ditto.
Please check these things out.
So, and people say, does that have any effect? Yes, it does. They check the addresses of who's commenting. They check who this is coming from. It does make a difference. There's one other thing, Alice, and Mark and I did an interview of Mitch Kiter on Friday. And there, we're going to be airing that interview this week. And it's one having to do with Touchstone. There was a settlement where CFPB once again lost on a lawsuit. Now, it had to do with a fair lending issue where they, the CFPB, and you'll listen to the interview. But, Mark, you can jump on this if you want. But, Alice, I was thinking it came up. And it's appropriate that it comes up in your segment. We all love Mitch Kiter and so much. I was thinking while I'm doing this interview, I go, oh, my gosh, why didn't we invite Alice to this? It was, we did it at 5 o'clock on a Friday night. So I didn't want to bother you and take you away from Mandy, your wonderful husband. But it was one of those really interesting. So Touchstone won a lawsuit. They had said inflammatory things on a radio program. And, I mean, the statements that Touchstone made were not good. And there was a lawsuit that came out as a result of that. But because it didn't have to do with an actual application, it was a specific transaction, the courts threw it out. And so it's a very significant case. We're going to be airing that interview this week. I'm not sure when we're going to have – I hope to get that edited and out this week. So check the website. We'll make sure we're pushing it out on LinkedIn as well. Many of you, by the way, should subscribe to the LinkedIn page for the podcast. You'll get the notifications on every time we push it out. We push it out pretty successfully to all y'all, as we say here in Texas, all y'all. But we want to make sure you catch that one. It's an important one. Mitch did a really good job of articulating the story behind that. Mark, do you want to add to that in our recording with Mitch?
I'd like to make one comment is, Mitch is very, very, very knowledgeable, and I was able to ask him a couple questions in it that I thought would be valuable for the listeners because I pretty much knew the answers, but he confirmed them. And I think it's going to be a very valuable podcast to listen to because he does a great job explaining some background that I think give you a whole new understanding of the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau different than what you have today.
Yep. Very good. And then also you questioned the broader picture about the legitimacy of the CFPB. And that was really good. So he commented on that. So we won't go into what he said. Tune into that podcast. It'll be released. Ben on my team will be getting that out and released here in the next day or so. So be sure to listen to it. Thank you so much. That was really an interesting interview, Alice. I wish you could have joined in because I know how much you respect Mitch, and it would have been fun to have you here. Any thoughts on what we talked about here as we wrap this one up, Alice, as we head to the door? Anything you thought?
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing what Mitch said because it sounds like, based on your summary, that he agreed with the synopsis that I gave the week before when we reported on that. So good to hear.
Yeah.
I'm happy I was on the right track with that.
You were on the right track.
It seemed like an overreach by the CFPB, and good to know that the courts agreed.
Yeah, I think Mitch heard your interview, your comments, and he said, I need to come on the podcast. Let me give you the rest of the details. So Alice, like always, you stay on top of – everyone asks, how does Alice stay on top of everything? She's an avid reader. So thank you, Alice. That was good that you brought that up. But it was reinforced. And a lot more depth and kind of what are the takeaways from it. I love Mitch's analysis. What are the takeaways on it? He did say this, just because they lost does not mean you should become cavalier – these are my words, or show disregard to any fair lending issues because they are real and they are they're coming after people over there, these kind of fair lending. So no cavalier attitudes, but listen to the interview because it will give you the context in which you can relax a little bit more. But we have another precedence. Now, Mitch didn't try that case, but it was another precedence where CFPB law, it doesn't take too many of those, but start seeing a precedence when they start losing, it is going to change the litigious environment that we live in with the CFPB. So enough on that. Mark, you want to wrap up any final comments as we wrap this podcast up today?
Well, you know, it's totally amazing to me, David, sometimes, and again, I apologize for being a little bit late today, but it doesn't matter whether we have two people on the phone or eight people on the phone. The information is always valuable, and I learn something on every call. And if I can learn something on every call with my years in the industry, I'm sure everybody else out there can learn something and gather something beneficial. So we want to thank the listeners for listening to this podcast, and we hope you gained as much from it as we do. And yep. We certainly enjoy doing it.
Yeah, and welcome to all our new listeners like Phil, Guth, Freddie Mac. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, Phil. If I'm not, my apologies. Alice knows how I can slaughter names really badly. So anyway, have a great week, everybody. We're thrilled to have you as a listener, have you share this, and be sure to listen to the upcoming podcast we'll be releasing here in the next day or two with Mitch Kreider on that very, very important settlement, or that determination where CFPB lost, celebrating their loss. Very good. Have a great week, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your President's Day. A special thank you, Alice. You're going to get to go fishing with your husband. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for taking time out of it. Say hi to Andy for me. And then, Mark, thank you for joining as well. Appreciate you both. Appreciate all of our listeners. God bless. Have a great, wonderful day.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.